hush comes over the crowd.
I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Mayor Hiremath.
Here.
Vice Mayor Waters.
Here.
Councilmember Hornet.
Here.
Councilmember Pena. Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
All right. Is a motion and a second to go into executive session?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Joining us in executive session will be Assistant Town Managers, Chief Civil, Deputy Attorney, and the Town Clerk.
I think I just heard Steve.
Somebody's on the line.
I bet you have some stories.
It's kind of like my mayor position. What stays in the office. I'd like to call the meeting in order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Mayor Hiremath.
Here.
Vice Mayor Waters.
Here.
Councilmember Hornet.
Here.
Councilmember Pena. Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Would everybody here please rise for the pledge? Thank you, and good evening, everyone. All right, upcoming meeting announcements. Ms. Nowak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On screen, we have three upcoming meetings. The Water Utility Commission meets March 12th at 6 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. Stormwater Utility meets the 15th at 4 o'clock, also in the Hopi. And our next Town Council regular session is March 21st at 6 p.m. here in Council Chambers. And also on the next slide, we'd like to invite everyone to our free Easter extravaganza. Popular event, hundreds of kiddos, but please note the location is changed. It will now be held at James D. Creek Park. So please join us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any council reports?
Mr. Mayor, just a question.
Councilman
Warner? And a short report. Are you sure about the location for Stormwater Utility? I think it's going to be at Concordia. Okay, no, never mind. Yes, I just want to remind everybody that a replica of the Vietnam Memorial Wall is coming to Oral Valley on the 15th, if I recall. And the mayor will be doing closing. There'll be an opening at 9 o'clock on the 15th. The wall will be open 24/7 for those 3 days with volunteers sponsoring it. And also on Sunday, whatever that Sunday is, the mayor will be doing closing remarks at 9 a.m., and they'll also have an F-16 flyover. If you've never been to the wall in Washington, D.C., this is worth seeing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Stacy Lumos is not here. Neither is our town manager and Councilmember Snyder. Stacy's received...
Yeah, Pena.
Or, sorry. I'm not even going to go there. Okay. So, Councilmember Pena is not here. They're actually, Stacy's receiving an award. Misty, Chris, the award official title for Stacy that she's getting?
Women of Influence.
So we just want to thank Stacy Lemos's hard work. That's a huge honor for her. It's a huge honor for the town of Oro Valley. We all applaud her efforts, and it's very well deserving. So with that, any other council reports?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Snyder.
One quick announcement and one council report. I'd like to introduce to the audience Nandini Sodhi, who is, would you please stand? She is a member of the Mayor's Youth Advisory Council. She is a senior at BASIS, current junior, next year senior at BASIS. And as a member of the Youth Advisory Council, she is one of three that is liaisons to the town council meetings. She records what's going on, reports back to the Youth Commission, and we rely upon them for their input for the youth community. So thank you for being here. And, Mr. Mayor, we have a spotlight on youth this evening. And if you bear with me just one moment.
Mary, did you tell her she could go home and watch it on their computer and not have to be here?
No.
Okay.
This evening, we have a spotlight on youth honoree. And for those of you who are not familiar, once a month during the academic year, we have this program. And this evening, I would like to invite Sydney Smith to come and join me. Okay, Sydney has been nominated for the Spotlight on Youth Award for the month of March by her school, which is Painted Sky Elementary. And she was nominated for her outstanding leadership and service to the community and to other students at Painted Sky. Sydney is greatly admired by her classmates for her leadership skills. In fact, she's voted the Student Council President this year at Painted Sky. Talk about leadership. Sydney has been described as a powerful role model for all students, and more importantly, someone with a servant's heart. As a member of the National Elementary Honor Society, Sydney volunteers for every single project, and her teachers underlined every single. Last year as a fourth grader, she initiated a kindness project to spotlight and encourage random acts of kindness around the campus. She also participates in REACH, a program for gifted students. REACH stands for Realizing Excellence Through Academic and Creative Help. It's clear that Sydney has found her calling for helping others. Sydney takes note of others' strengths and tries to draw out the best of others around her. She notices others who may feel uncertain and unsure, or who may not be participating, and she finds a way to get them engaged in meaningful ways. Lindsay Hernan, I hope I said that right, is her fifth grade teacher here in the audience. Would you like to stand? Okay. Had this to say, Sydney is an exemplary student with a strong work ethic and a kind heart. She demonstrates maturity, great respect, and a wonderful role model to others. We thank you for showing leadership in our community and helping others find their success. And we can't wait to see what the future holds for you. This is a wonderful example, this young lady, of the youth in our community and how we're all in good hands for the future. Also, I'd like to mention Sydney's teachers from Painted Sky are here. Ladies, would you like to stand up? I think we have a second, third grade teacher, fourth grade teacher, and second. Okay, so her teachers from past years are here. Grandpa and grandma are here, and mom and dad. So great turnout. And Sydney, the town council would like to present to you this plaque that reads, Town of Oro Valley Spotlight on Youth. Thank you, Sydney Smith, for your outstanding leadership and service. We're proud of you. March 7th, 2018, signed by the mayor and council, and this is for you to take home. Great. Wait. Do you want to say something? All right. Sydney would like to say a few words. Would you like me to hold that for you?
I just want to thank everyone who made this possible. It means the world to me, and I just want to keep helping others and just help the community.
Podium.
With that, we'll move on to department reports. Mr. Cornelison?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have one department report from our town clerk's office regarding our new featured artist.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, tonight we are featuring new artwork on display in the council chambers and on the town's website by artist Mickey Eijen. Mr. Eijen's successful career as a building contractor and developer incorporated his aptitude for architectural design with his flair for style. This combination of talents eventually led to his artistic style of controlled abstract art. Using archival oil on canvas, Mickey expresses his art through geometric forms, texture, flowing images, and almost always the use of vibrant color. On behalf of Mr. Eijen, I believe we have his son and daughter-in-law, Brand and Haley Eijen, in the audience tonight.
All right, we'll move on to the order of business. I have reviewed the order of business, and it will stand as posted. I do have three call to the audience speakers. Before I call them up, just want to make sure everybody knows, pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. At the conclusion of call to the audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. With that, Terry Wolf.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you tonight. My wife, Jan, and I live in Carmel Point, and we'd like to ask you to strongly consider keeping the Overlook Restaurant open. We fully understand your concern regarding the losses incurred at the Overlook Restaurant, but I think if you examine the reasons for its operating losses, they do not involve location, but rather management and marketing or lack thereof. You currently have tremendous potential restaurant traffic with a great participation at the rec center and the golf course. There is also great potential for walk-in and golf cart traffic from a large number of homes in the area surrounding the club. Contrary to the comments from the town manager at the last meeting I attended, that no one is interested in operating the facility, we have heard that several successful restaurateurs have expressed the interest that they would like to have an opportunity to meet with you and discuss it. The views and location are unparalleled, I think, in Oral Valley. We the citizens of Oral Valley have a great asset with our 36-hole golf course, the rec center, the pool, and the restaurant. The current bar area and tables may be sufficient for the lunch trade. The tables on the other side, the right side as you walk in, can be used for card games, mahjong, and the other activities that are not currently provided in the rec center officially. The sunset room could easily flex between an exercise classroom for yoga, Zumba, and other classes that don't need large equipment. The current exercise classroom is too small. I think everybody recognizes this. They have to turn people away. And the noise from the weight room is disruptive to the classes. The revamped sunset room could still be used for meetings in the afternoon and evening, or even weddings and receptions. The current exercise classroom has a temporary wall that could easily be removed and expand the weight room and the other space for larger machines. In addition, the two racquetball courts are underutilized, so repurposing this area should also be considered. We encourage you not to abandon the restaurant due to the poor management, but rather strive to make it a success by leasing the facility to a successful business person, such as the operators of Tohono O'Chul Bistro or other successful restaurateurs. Oral Valley could have a complete package over there, I think, that we would all be proud of. We have an opportunity to enhance a wonderful facility that is a gem for Oral Valley, I believe. Let's not cut corners, but instead enhance the Oral Valley Rec Center and Golf Center. Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you. Peyton Davies.
Mr. Mayor, council members, staff, I'm Peyton Davies, and I'm an Oral Valley resident. I live across the street at Carmel Point. I just want all of you to know that people that look at the view in the restaurant and then look at the view from the pro shop and tell me where you would like to sit to eat.
I've heard that you would like to capture the business of golfers who come through downstairs by moving the restaurant to the downstairs area. And if you do capture the business, how long will they stay? Till 4 o'clock, maybe. And maybe only a foursome at a time. You need to draw from the community, not just the golfers. How about a few posters, signs, sample menus, some advertising downstairs where the golfers walk? You've never tried to advertise this restaurant. You need to put some money into making it handicap accessible. I've heard that as a complaint. Well, even if it was still just the rec part upstairs, you need to make it handicap accessible. Sun City has struggled for years to try to make a go of their cafe. They refuse to stay open past 3 p.m. They have finally enlarged their restaurant, and they now stay open every night. I don't know if they make money. They should. Good restaurants thrive on competition. We could be far better than any restaurant in the area and with the best view in the whole town. Give it a chance. Do some design change, but keep the view. You can't surpass it in Oro Valley. I believe that a good restaurateur could and would love to give it a try.
Thank you. Edward Cook?
My name is Edward Cook. I am a new resident of Carmel Point. I've lived over on Kenyatta Hills for the last 28 years. Mr. Mayor, council members, staff, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address the council regarding the Overlook Restaurant. I'd like to say ditto to both Peyton and to Terry. I think what they said was excellent. We have lived in Kenyatta Hills for 28 years, and during that time, we've seen the good and the bad at the restaurant. In the early 90s, we would eat regularly at the restaurant on weekends. I would bring my staff and their families to the restaurant for the Christmas celebration dinner, and they were always impressed with the magnificent views from the dining room. Now we remember the tablecloths, the prime rib dinner, and a piano player that set the mood for the evening. This has all changed over the years, and sadly, not for the better. I ask that you take a step back and once again consider the outstanding views the Overlook Restaurant has to offer. I believe they are the best views on the northwest side of Tucson. Please go back and take time to poll restaurateurs as possible candidates to take over the restaurant. Assign an individual to follow up on the RFPs with the right incentives. You may find a company that will take the gamble and bring Oro Valley new tax dollars. To give up on this panoramic view for an exercise room is by far the worst idea I have heard. With the right marketing, Oro Valley would then become one of the finest restaurants and viewing sites in Tucson. Thank you for listening to my opinion.
Thank you. There are no other speakers, so we'll move to presentations. Mike, presentation number one.
Proclamation, World Down Syndrome Day, March 21st, 2018.
Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona Proclamation, World Down Syndrome Day, March 21st, 2018. Whereas approximately one in every 691 children are born with Down syndrome, representing an estimated 5,000 births per year in the United States. And whereas there are over 250,000 individuals living with Down syndrome in the United States. And whereas while research and early intervention have resulted in dramatic improvements in the lifespan and potential of those who are affected, more investigation is needed into the causes and treatment of Down syndrome. And whereas possessing a wide range of abilities, people with Down syndrome are active participants in educational, occupational, social, and recreational circles of our communities. And whereas IKIN 2 was established by the Oro Valley Parks and Recreation Department in 2016 so that youth with special needs, to include Down syndrome, have the opportunity to participate in parks and recreation programs alongside their non-disabled peers. And whereas individuals with Down syndrome should have equal opportunity to achieve the universally desired goals of self-fulfillment, pride in their achievements, inclusion in their community, and reaching their fullest potential. Now, therefore, I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim March 21st, 2018, as World Down Syndrome Day in the town of Oro Valley, and encourage our citizens to work together to promote respect and inclusion of individuals with Down syndrome and to celebrate their accomplishments and contributions, dated the 7th day of March, 2018. And with that, I'm going to come down and present this proclamation to Katie. And I know Indrani Solomon is here as well, in addition to Chief Brand Huber. So, Katie, if you could meet me at the podium, please.
And I live in Oro Valley. I am proud to be a part of our community. I attend Everwood Weir High School, where I am a member of the student government class through a Special Olympics program. I am in second year drama class. I love to improvise and act. When I am finished with high school, I hope to become a business owner. I want to start a ready dress rental. I can follow my dreams. The support of my community, it is important that people like me are recorded in our community. We have a lot to offer. Thank you very much.
Katie, I hope your dreams come true. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council members, for giving us another opportunity to observe World Down Syndrome Day on March 21st and spread the message of inclusion in the community. I am a parent of Down syndrome, of a child with Down syndrome, as you know, and my advocacy is geared toward inclusion in any given environment. And it's wonderful to see that the proclamation says just that. You know, there are leaders among us and all across the globe, and they've all been inspiring and helping to build a brighter future for our young generation. And we see that our children are growing in a much more accepting world, and that is more interconnected. So we find that the solutions that they find to problems are much more equitable. And I see that ripple effect right here in our community. And the person I need to thank is you, Mayor, and your team for your servant leadership. It's working like magic. And I urge the community to continue to embrace differences and build relationships. I do have Natalie, who happens to be a sibling of another kid with Down syndrome here. And I also have Steve. They have personal stories to share, if it's okay for you to just.
That's fine. Sure.
Thank you so much.
Hi, My name is Natalie Da Silva, and I go to Copper Creek, and now I'm in seventh grade at Wilson Middle School. My little brother, Gregory, is in first grade at Copper Creek. Gregory has Down syndrome. He is remarkable because he is the first student with DS to be fully included at this school starting in kindergarten. I am very proud of him. Since Gregory has been born, he has always been included. We have always included him in all parts of our lives. We have a big family, and he fits in perfectly. He's 100% included in everything that we do as a family. Because of this, we naturally believe he should always be accepted and fully included throughout everything in his life that he does. I personally get to see the benefits of Gregory being in Mrs. Ellsworth's first grade class at Copper Creek. You see, every day I walk him to his classroom. I have seen Gregory being greeted by his classmates. After I drop him off, I wait for a minute to watch to see what he does in class. He independently opens his backpack, takes out his lunch, and sets it in the lunch bin. He also takes his snack and puts it on the snack table. He's learned these skills and by others because he's fully included with all his typical friends. He also raises his hand and says, "Here," in attendance. If you see it, your heart will melt like mine did. Last year, he went to a birthday party at Pump It Up. When we arrived, all the kids raced to Gregory, giving him a big hug and guided him to the bouncy houses. They all said, "Gregory is here. Gregory, come on, let's go play." Gregory is being treated like a typical kid, which he is. This really makes him feel special and included. I can just see it in his big blue eyes. I know Gregory enhances the love in our family now. I see how he positively affects Copper Creek, especially his first grade class. Full inclusion to all those who have disability teaches us all to have love, patience, and acceptance. I would also like to say my mom and dad both work really hard to make sure Gregory stays healthy. They are concerned about his future and his ability to live independently once he finishes school. They know that something needs to be done now in order for Gregory and others with Down syndrome to have good lives as adults. I am very happy that my mom and dad work so hard to make help my brother. We want little G to be the best he can possibly be. My mom and Gregory can't be here tonight because my mom is taking him to a doctor appointment. I know all the hard work my mom does for Gregory is helping because he is amazing. He is the best.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mayor, council members, and staff. My name is Steve Freeman. I'm the chairperson of the Southern Arizona Network for Down Syndrome, and I'm the board member of the National Down Syndrome Society. I want to talk to you a little bit about, my wife and I have two daughters, and our youngest daughter, Dominique, who is 21 years old now, she has Down syndrome, and we were blessed to be able to have her go through the University of Arizona to a project focus program. But something happened this past week that was really amazing for us. It's something that we've been working for a long time and advocated for at Capitol Hill for many years. The ABLE accounts opened up for Arizona residents. And a stable account, it's called stable account, but a stable account is an investment account available to eligible individuals with disabilities. Stable accounts allow individuals with disabilities to save and invest money without losing eligibility for certain public benefits programs like Medicaid or SSI. Earnings in your stable account are not subject to federal income tax, so as long as you spend them on qualified disability expenses. Arizona ABLE is Arizona's ABLE plan. The Arizona Department of Economic Security has partnered with stable accounts and the Ohio Treasurer's Office to offer this program to Arizonas with disabilities. Although stable accounts are available nationwide, Arizona ABLE is only available to Arizona residents. Through Arizona ABLE, Arizonans are able to open stable accounts at discounted rates. account setup is fully online. My wife and I were able to help our daughter do that Monday when they opened up the accounts for Arizona residents. It was very easy. We just go to az-able.com and you walk you through it. The thing that took the longest was my fault because I couldn't find the routing information for the bank account and the right account number. So that took the longer than anything, but it's very easy for families to do. Setting up the account online is free and easy. You will need to make initial contribution of at least $50 in order to set up your account. And currently, Arizona's pay $3.50 per month and works out to $42 annually to maintain their accounts. There are also small asset-based fees of between 0.19% and 0.33%, depending on the investment options that are chosen. And eligible individual is someone who developed their disability before the age of 26. The individual must have been living with their disability for at least 1 year, or they must expect their disability to last for at least a year. So we were very excited to do that because there's so many expenses that these accounts are be able to use for. And I'll just, it can be used for education, housing, transportation, employment support, can be used on assistive technology and personal support and miscellaneous expenses. So our family is very excited to be able to have this opportunity and for not only individuals with Down syndrome, but all individuals with disabilities living in Arizona. So it's important to get the word out to as many families as possible. Thank you guys very much, and we appreciate you guys having us out here again this year. Thank you.
Our pleasure, thank you. And I know Chief Brand Huber's in the audience, also in support of the proclamation. Care to say a few words, Chief? All right. Well, we really appreciate the support. With that, we'll move right to consent. Is there,
Mr. Mayor,
Councilman Rodman?
I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Mr. Mayor, can I pull F for just a
motion in a second? We're going to pull item F. Any other items being pulled? Okay. With that, we're looking for a motion to approve A, B, C, D, E. Is there a?
You have a motion in a second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Try to keep up, Mayor.
Yes. It's a slow day. Mr. Standish, letter F.
Resolution number R18-10, authorizing and approving amendment number 2 to the Intergovernmental Transportation Funding Agreement between the Regional Transportation Authority of Pima County and the Town of Oro Valley for improvements to La Cholla Boulevard, Overton Road to Tangerine Road.
Councilman Hornet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I've got a couple questions for Mr. Kiesler. I read this a couple of times, and especially the executive summary, which always leads me to decide whether I'm going to read the rest or not. But and at first blush, it looks like we spent $2 million on this IGA project with the RTA, and then it looks like we put in another $1.8 million. It's just a little confusing the way it's worded in the executive summary. I think the reality of it is that all we did with this IGA is approve the money that the RTA had, and now we're allowing them to spend it for the La Cholla changes.
Councilmember Hornet, that's correct. The bulk of the funding for this project is coming from the RTA, so all of those expenses that you just mentioned were actually reimbursed through the RTA.
So did we pay them, Paul, and then they're paying us back?
That's the way this has been working.
Okay. It takes a little bit of reading to get to that, I think, is what I'm trying. So maybe, just maybe in the executive summary, you could include something for those of us with bad reading comprehension that makes it just a little clearer. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So actually, Oro Valley's contribution is $800,000, and that's out of impact fees.
That is correct, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Paul.
With that, entertain a motion for letter F.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Standish, regular agenda item number 1.
Fiscal year 2017-18, mid-year financial update.
Ms. Gomez, and for council, this is information item only, so there is no vote being taken on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the council, I'm pleased to be presenting our mid-year financial update tonight. We bring this update to you on the regular agenda this same time every year, just to give an update on our major funds as we look to begin next year's budget process. I just want to start off first by saying that our financial position is strong, stable. We don't have any concerns in any of our funds, and so it's all good news to report tonight. This chart shows the fiscal year 17-18 budget by fund as a percentage of the total budget. The funds in color are what I'm covering tonight. So we have our general fund at 36%, our stormwater utility fund at 1%, our highway fund at 4%, the bed tax fund at 1%, the community center fund at 5%, and our water utility fund at 19%. Together, these funds comprise about two-thirds of our total adopted budget of $128.6 million. This year's update isn't any different from past year's updates through mid-year. We'll just go through some areas that are trending to come in over budget and some that are trending to come in under. And so I'll cover those and then discuss the reasons why they're trending as they are. Starting with the general fund revenues, the next two slides highlight the major revenue sources, how they're trending compared to our budget, what the estimated variance is to budget, and then the reason for that variance. This slide focuses on our local sales tax revenue category in the general fund. Local sales taxes make up close to 50%, about 47% or $17 million of the general fund's $36 million budget. So this slide highlights several of the main categories of sales tax that we collect in the general fund. At the top, our construction sales tax, we collect a 4% construction sales tax. We budgeted just under $4.4 million this year, and we estimate that actual collections will end the year just under $5.2 million, so about $800,000 over. And that's due primarily to residential activity. Just a reminder, we issued 339 single-family residential permits last fiscal year, and so we're seeing that spillover of the construction dollars into the current year. But we're also seeing steady commercial activity as well. Our utility sales tax, we collect a 4% utility sales tax, and we budgeted $2.9 million this year. This category is trending about $200,000 over budget, and this is likely due to several factors. First, our population growth. We have several new apartment complexes in town, the activity with our single-family homes. We also saw a rate increase from Tucson Electric Power last year. And then weather. It's been, for the most part, dry and warm, and this can lead to increased water use and possibly additional electricity use as well. Our retail sales tax, we collect a 2.5%. 2% of that is collected in our general fund, while the other half percent portion is dedicated to the community center fund. We budgeted $6.8 million for the 2% portion in the general fund, and that's trending on budget this year. Restaurant, similar to retail, we collect a 2.5% tax on that. 2% of that is a portion to the general fund, and then the other half cent is in the community center fund. We budgeted about $1.8 million in this category for the general fund, and that's also trending on budget at this time. And then our other local sales tax category comprises all of our other smaller categories that we also collect on. We budgeted about $700,000 in this category for the general fund this year, and that's trending slightly over budget, about $65,000, and that's due to collections primarily in our accommodation or hotel category. And so this is separate from and in addition to our 6% bed tax. This would be the general fund's 2% of the 2.5% that we collect in this category. And that's just due to continued improvement that we're seeing in the hospitality sector of the economy, growth and improvement with the hotels in town. Finally, our cable franchise fee. This is also included in the local sales tax category. We collect a 5% cable franchise fee from Comcast Cable. We budgeted $620,000, and that's trending slightly above budget, about $35,000 for year-end, and that's due to growth in the customer base within the town. So overall, in the local sales tax category for the general fund, it's estimated we will come in over budget by about $1.1 million based on these observed trends. Our additional general fund revenue sources, licenses and permits, we budgeted $2.1 million, and we estimate that we'll come in about $378,000 over that amount at year end. And that's due to both commercial and residential construction activity, both our building and grading permits. Our federal and state grants, this category is expected to come in under budget by about $134,000 at year end. And that's due mainly to some capital related capacity that we budgeted for state grants for a couple of our departments, Parks and Rec and Transit, that we won't be utilizing this year. And those are offset with corresponding reductions in the anticipated grant expenditures within those departments. Other intergovernmental, this is estimated to come in under budget by about $113,000. And this is due to trends in our transit reimbursements through our IGA with the Regional Transportation Authority. Ridership is down just a bit. And then also is due to capacity that we had included for a potential school resource officer at Lehman Academy that won't be utilized. And that portion is offset with personnel savings in the police department since we did not bring that position on board. State shared revenues is a sizable portion of the general fund revenues at about 32%. We budgeted $11.6 million, and we estimate coming in slightly under that amount, close to $100,000, about $96,000. And that's based on figures that we receive from the League of Arizona Cities and Towns with our state income tax and current trends we're observing in our vehicle license taxes. And then finally, charges for services. We budgeted $2.2 million for that revenue source in the general fund, and we estimate coming in slightly under by about $33,000 at year end. And that's due primarily to trends with our zoning and subdivision fees. So we saw a bit of a boost in those revenues the last few years, and now those developments have transitioned to sort of the permitting and construction phases. So that's the explanation of that category. And so overall in the general fund, we budgeted $36.3 million in revenues, and we estimate coming in over that amount by about $1.1 million or 3%. And that's really a reflection of the development, building, and construction activity that we're currently seeing in town. Moving on to our general fund expenditures. Our total department expenditures in the general fund are budgeted at $36.7 million this year. Overall, we estimate coming in under budget by about $568,000 or 1.5%. And this is due to several things, some personnel savings of about $274,000. And then we're not going to need to do a transfer out to the highway fund. And so that was budgeted at $275,000. And this is due to the new Pima County property tax for roads. It's going to be covering the residential spring surface treatments. And so this subsidy transfer from the general fund won't be needed this year. And then capital purchases of $143,000. Those are primarily tied to the grant funded capacity that I'd mentioned earlier. We are expecting an O&M overage of about $124,000, and this is due to outside plan review for several of our construction projects that are ongoing right now. Those expenditures are in our Community Development and Public Works Department, but I do just want to note that those are more than offset with the associated plan review fee revenues. And with the exception of that, all departments are expected to come in on or under their budgeted amounts. We've also captured the approved use of the contingency reserves in the general fund in the amount of $75,000, and that's for the Regional Municipalities Veterans Treatment Court that was approved July 5th of last year. Overall, in the general fund, we estimate an increase in our fund balance of nearly $1.2 million to approximately $14.6 million at year end, or almost 40% of our adopted expenditures. In our highway fund, our revenues, we estimate those to come in under budget by about 7% or $279,000. And this is really due just to the transfer from the general fund of $275,000 that I'd mentioned earlier. Our state shared highway user revenues are estimated on budget. And our expenditures are estimated under budget by 12% or almost $600,000. And this is the expenditure side for the Pima County property tax for roads. Again, those spring residential surface treatments that the county would be covering with that. Overall, in the highway fund, we estimate our year-end fund balance to be about $550,000. Community Center Fund, our revenues, so the contracted revenues that consist of our golf, food and beverage, and tennis operations managed by Troon at the Community Center. Those are estimated to come in over budget by a little over 2%, or $70,000. That's based on Troon's updated forecast, and that's due primarily to golf fee revenue. Our town operating revenues from the recreation and fitness operations at the community center, those are expected to come in over budget by almost 16%, or about $122,000, and that's due primarily to member dues, our classic memberships there. Our half-cent sales tax is still estimated to come in on budget. On the expenditure side of the house, our contracted expenditures, those are estimated over budget about 2%, or $106,000, and that's really due to increased water use as a result of the warm, dry weather we've been having that I was mentioning earlier. And operating expenditures, those are estimated to come in over budget by about $36,000, and that's due to estimated personnel to meet the programming needs of the facility, and we'll continue to monitor and adjust that future capacity accordingly. I do just want to note that that expected overage is more than offset with the anticipated operating revenues. Overall, we're estimating a surplus of $41,400 for the current fiscal year in the Community Center Fund and an ending fund balance of negative $55,800. Our ending fund balance last fiscal year, to note, was almost $100,000. It was about $97,000. And so we're definitely seeing improvement, cutting that negative fund balance in half and moving in the direction that we want to see. Moving on to our bed tax fund and our stormwater utility fund. Our bed tax fund, we estimate those revenues to come in over budget by almost $150,000. And that's just due to continued growth and improvement in our bed tax revenues. Our estimated expenditures, just over budget, $6,500, or 0.5%. And that's due to tennis court improvements that we've done this year at the community center. Our estimated year-end fund balance in the bed tax fund is about $235,000. In our stormwater utility fund, revenues are estimated just over budget by about $3,000. And our expenses are estimated under budget by $50,000. And that's due to anticipated savings in our capital infrastructure projects. That's due to being able to utilize in-house staff to do some of those improvements. Last but not least, our water utility fund. Our revenues are anticipated over budget by more than $1.1 million, and that's due primarily to increased water sales. Again, as mentioned with the utility tax, we see that increased water use with the warm, dry weather. The expenses are estimated under budget by about 0.3%, or $66,000, and that's due to projected personnel savings in that fund. And with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Councilman Hornet?
Wendy, I just want to go back to the state shared revenue. What is our total state shared revenue about?
In the general fund, our budget was a little over $11.6 million, and we're estimating about $11.5 million.
Okay, so it's $96,000 is not a significant number. Is there a reason why we suspect it'll go down like that?
It's both state income tax and the vehicle license tax. So on the state income tax, that's adjusted every year with the census, and we don't get those final numbers until about May of each year. And so they provide preliminary numbers, but they never know exactly what the amount's going to be until later in May. With the vehicle license tax, that budget may have been a little bit aggressive, and so we're just looking at the trends in that and projecting a slight shortfall in that area.
$96,000 out of $11 million. I just want to know what the magnitude was.
Right, very minimal.
Councilmember Robin?
Yes, I know Christy's not here, but on the Community Center Fund, clearly we're trending the right direction and down to basically on budget, at least our trends. Can you just shortcut what we've done differently this year, what's happened differently that gets us to this from where... Obviously, it's a good trend, but I like to highlight what's been done if we can.
Well, you know, one of the main areas is our revenue sources, really. They're up year over year significantly. And, you know, just adjusting those budget revenues to kind of what we're seeing with experience at the facility, the operational improvements that we've been making, you know, all of that kind of plays into stabilizing that fund for the future, you know, looking to close that negative fund balance, and then moving into next fiscal year with continuing to look at other improvements that will help shore up the expenses and then generate additional revenues further.
Now, the revenues we have are not able to cover any of our potential capital expenses that we might have wanted to do. This is covering our operating expenses. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Councilmember Snyder?
Just a brief question. In the bid tax, you think that's also indicative of the Hilton having all their renovations done? Are we seeing a return back to what it was prior to their closing down parts as they renovated?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Snyder, absolutely, yes. That would be a factor that's playing into that, most definitely.
So that trend next year should be stable? Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Thanks. Mr. Mayor, one more.
Councilmember Hornet?
Wendy, so we're projecting a $1.1 million increase in the general fund balance at the end of the fiscal. Did I read that right? Or?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Hora, overall it's about a $1.2 million increase in fund balance.
For half a million? I mean, for a million, 100, you call me a, never mind. this is a loaded question. Are we planning on spending that money in the next budget, or should I wait to see the budget?
Yeah, let's not jump the gun.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Wendy.
All right. So with that, we'll move on to item number two.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. One quick last thing. Our council requirement is 25% of the general fund, and now we're projecting almost 40%. That just needs to be said.
Well, if I could just add on that people often ask, is the town in good financial shape? And the answer is obviously yes. And so this is great news. Thank you. And thanks to the staff for bringing this forward and for doing a great job that keeps us going.
All right, Mike, item number two.
Possible action to approve the settlement agreement regarding property to be obtained as part of the Tangerine Road Corridor Improvement Project.
Vice Mayor Waters? Yeah.
Yes, I hereby move to approve the settlement agreement as discussed in executive session and delegate authority to the town manager to execute the agreement on behalf of the town of Oro Valley.
There a second?
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. There are no future agenda items. There are no call-ins to the audience speakers. Before I make a motion to adjourn, Indrani Sam would like to take a picture with all the council. So as soon as we adjourn, please step in front of the podium. With that, meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't we have to vote on that?